precious treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns his face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. I believe in the Son, I believe in the risen one, I believe I overcome by the power of his blood. Amen, amen, I'm alive because he lives. Amen, amen. Let my song join the one that never ends, because he lives. I was dead in the was covered in sin and shame. I heard mercy call my name. He rolled the stone away. Amen, amen. I'm alive because he lives. Song join the one that never ends, because because he lives.
Thank you, men, for ministering to us in song. What a blessing to be able to sit back and allow the songs to minister to our hearts the truth of God's word. We have entered a week. Today is Palm Sunday, and we are looking at the week of Jesus' last week before he was crucified on Good Friday. And so we want to look at his word. And it's my prayer that, again, God will speak to us through his word, and that we will allow the word of God to speak to us personally. It is my prayer that we have come prayerfully. Before I open with the word of God, which we want to take my text out of Matthew 26, verse 36, to the end, or to verse 45. If you have your Bibles with you, Matthew 26 from verse 36 to 45. And before we read the word of God, I just ask you to join me in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we have been in your love, we are in your house. We have opened the precious word of God. It is the week that you went faithfully in obedience to the Father, to the cross, to redeem us. And so, Lord, I just pray that as we read the word, that the word will speak. Speak through your servant. Lord, may we hide behind the cross of Jesus and uplift the name of Jesus to bring glory to your name. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 26, verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto the place called Gethsemane, and he saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further, and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep. And he saith unto Peter, What could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and he went away. And he prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples, and he saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. When we read that portion of Scripture, we are reminded of the words that were read in Isaiah 53, that Jesus was a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we see here in the garden that Jesus was in deep, deep sorrow. Then cometh Jesus with them unto the place called Gethsemane, meaning an oil press. Very significant to what Jesus is going through. Jesus, in his life, in his life of dedication to God the Father, came again and again to a place of trial and testing. a man of sorrows acquainted with grief. Yet with perfect loyalty and magnificent determination, his life was dedicated from the first and the last will of God. He came to fulfill God's will, his Father. His life was true to the song that the psalmist David wrote in Psalms 40, verse 7 and 8. Lo, I come in the volume of a book. It is written of me. I delight to do the will of my God. Yea, thy law is written within my heart. In Luke 2, verse 49, we read of Jesus' first recorded words when his parents were looking for him. They found him in the temple. In Luke 2, verse 46, sitting in the midst of the doctors. When his mother saw him, said, Son, why hast thou dealt thus with us? And Jesus answered, Don't you know that I must be about my Father's business? From a young child, Jesus was faithful to the Father. If anyone would have met Jesus anywhere and asked him for the reason for a journey that he took, or a deed that he did, or the words that he spoke, he would have answered with the words that we find in John 4, verse 34, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. You see and read of many cases where Jesus was burdened, where Jesus wept. Just this morning, when we think of the triumphal entry, when Jesus looked down the Mount of Olives and he saw Jerusalem, the city that the disciples and the crowd was thinking that was so glorious, they saw him weep, a man of sorrows. When I think of it here, we would have seen Jesus. We would have asked him, what are you doing today? Or why did you do that? Why did you go to Samaria? Jesus always had a purpose to do the will of his Father. He never answered just for fun or because I felt like it. He had a purpose. And I think we can learn from the life of Jesus. I don't think I've once heard or read where Jesus laughed. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to do and to finish his work. Throughout his life, in his childhood, in the growing up glory of his youth, and the years of his manhood, in all the difficult pathways of his public teaching, everything was true to his call, to his call in life. And today, me and you, each one of us, are blessed because he was faithful. But now in the Garden of Gethsemane, came a great and a final test. A test of sorrow. Here it came to him again, which he had known from the beginning, the coming of the cup of sin that he was to drink. The coming of the cross. The great question arises, not so much for Jesus, but for us. Will our life be complete in the devotion in this awful hour? In the Old Testament, the Day of Atonement, the high priest entered into the holiest of all three times. First, he passed within the veil, carrying fire in the golden censer and incense in his hands. And there he cast the incense on the fire, and the cloud of it overshadowed the mercy seat, and prepared it for the ministration which he was to follow. Entering the second time within the veil, bearing with him the blood of his own for his own sin, which he sprinkled on for his own, on his behalf. And finally, he entered within the blood, with the blood of sin, with the sin offering for all the people. When the fullness of time came, our high priest, Jesus, came to that great day of atonement. And before he passed within the veil to represent his sinful man, our high priest Jesus no longer was an act of a symbolism, but by a personal experience and faithfulness to God the Father. And that on the consuming fire, he cast the incense of his own sacrificial, sinless life. The cloud of it overshadowed the mercy seat. It was a prelude to him shedding his blood on our behalf of sinning souls like you and me. Matthew 26, verse 31, it says, "Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee." Jesus knew that he was heading to the cross. When I am reminded of this story, of this truth of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, I want to be very honest with you. It almost seems impossible for me to speak out or to explain the fragrance of his grace, because I'm always aware of Peter. And Judas denying Jesus, and Judas betraying him. Yet they are needed at this point in the unfolding of the Day of Atonement. The words that David penned in Psalms 93, verse 1 says, "The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength." And here we see him as a man of sorrows. Jesus had been in the upper room. If you will go study the previous verses, you will know that he had been in the upper room, and they had had the Passover. And they had sung a song, and he had instituted the new feast, a symbol of the new covenant. They had joined in singing, and then they left the upper room and walked down across the Kidron toward the Garden of Gethsemane. And on the way, he told them what was to happen, that they would be offended because of him that night, and I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. Jesus had complete knowledge of the week that was before him, of the road that he was going. He was conscious of all the awfulness of the cup that was before him. We see it so clear in the words that Jesus spoke in verse 31, "I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered, but after I am risen again. I will go before you into Galilee. He knew that he would die, and he knew that he would rise again. So I see, when I study the scene, I see Jesus' majesty and how he presented himself in the presence of his enemies. The story is not complete in the Gospel of Matthew, so I would like to read in John chapter 18, where Jesus is looking at the men that had come to arrest him. So John chapter 18, verse 4. And Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth, and he said unto them, whom seek ye? Jesus knew, and he said, who are you seeking? And they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. And then Jesus said unto them, I am he. And in the moment, at that moment, they fall backwards. The majesty of Jesus. Yet when I look closely at Jesus, I am blessed by the revelation of the meekness of Jesus. Jesus, in his public ministry, he said in Matthew 11, verse 29, for I am meek and lowly in heart. So how do you translate the word meekness? It suggests strength harnessed for service. The meekness is gentleness. We see in our text in verse 36 to 39, Jesus surrendered, and he left eight of his disciples at the entrance of the garden tomb, or the garden. While Jesus and Peter and James and John, they went further into the garden until at last, knowing that he was about to enter where only he could go, no one could follow him, he left them, charging them to watch with him. Jesus had to go a little distance farther by himself, going alone to face that unspeakable sorrow. Many of us have maybe gone through grief and sorrow, but I don't think there's any of us that understand that sorrow that Jesus went through. We see a revelation of strength there in the garden. There's hours of unspeakable anguish that come to our hearts in this life, and we cannot bear them without the presence of friends in our life. We need other people to help us carry those burdens. But here was one, Jesus, so full of meekness, strength harnessed for service, that he left them behind a little ways. If we read verse 37 to 40, it says, and he took with him Peter, the two sons of Zebedee, and he began, here it says, and I want us to notice, it was brought to my attention through the Spirit, he began to be sorrowful and very heavy. In other words, when he began to be sorrowful, I believe his sorrow increased. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further, and he fell on his face. This is our Savior. He fell on his face, and he prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. That's what he prayed, knowing what was ahead, that he would have to go to the cross. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. We observe him dealing with the sorrow. And Jesus went all the way to be faithful to the Father. And we see Jesus, he deals with the disciples' failure. We see Jesus' patience and how he dealt with them. He was not angry from the beginning to the end. When he rebuked them for sleeping, we read verse 40, "Then he cometh unto his disciples, and he findeth them asleep, and he saith unto Peter, What could you not watch with me 1 hour? Verse 41, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." He rebuked them for sleeping. And then he said, "The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." He recognized their intentions, even as he rebuked their faults. And I am so blessed to see that Jesus, he was so sympathetic to them. And what does that mean? It means that he bears with another, feeling with another, entering into an experience of the other and share it. That is what Jesus was doing in the garden. That sensitiveness of our Lord felt the anguish and the pain. And we see it in the last act of his divine surgery that he did when he healed the ear of Malchus. As we read in Luke 22, verse 48 to 51, he healed the ear. There's something deeper in which we see here today, Jesus' compassion and passion. It is found everywhere because compassion was the secret of his being in the garden at all. In Matthew 17, verse 22 and 23, it says, "And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus saith unto him, The Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And the third day he shall rise again." And they were exceeding sorrow. No man has arrested Jesus. He said in Matthew 26, verse 55, "Are ye come out against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hand on me. You could not take me or arrest me till my hour was come. And now you think you're going to do it with swords and staves to accomplish it? No. How then shall the scriptures be fulfilled?" is what Jesus asked. Thus it must be. They had not trapped him. It was his compassion that compelled him. We see his purity and sinlessness. In John 18, verse 11, Jesus said to Peter, "Put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it?" Jesus knew that he needed to be faithful to the Father. And yet he was so deep full of sorrow that he prayed, "Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me." Brothers and sisters, Jesus needed to drink that cup. The cup of sin. The ugliness of your sin and my sin. When we think of the sorrow, we must not think that it was fear of death that made our Lord so agonized in the garden. He did not fear death, but he faced it with meekness and compassion. He was about to drink the cup that his Father had prepared for him. This meant bearing on his body the sins of the world. Many godly people have been arrested, beaten, and slain for their faith. But only Jesus experienced being made sin and a curse for mankind, for you and for me. I trust today the Holy Spirit will reveal to us what Jesus' sorrow was in the Garden of Gethsemane. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, "For he," meaning God, "hath made him," who? Jesus, "to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." He became sin, the Holy One, the sinless Lamb of God. He became sin for you and for me. And that's why he prayed, "O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me." And he was in such great agony. In Luke 22, in verse 44, it says, "Being in agony, he prayed more earnestly." Jesus, he was there in creation. He was God. And he, being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. He saw the need to pray because he was now in his humanity. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Can we see the agony, the sorrow that Jesus bore? He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Galatians 3, verse 13 says, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us." He was made a curse for us. "For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." Matthew 26, verse 42, "O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." And God the Father's will was fulfilled by sending Jesus. In verse 43 to 45, it says in our text, "And he came and found them asleep." And I think we can learn from this. Are we going to go on? Is this week? Here we start the Passion Week. And sharing what Jesus went through, is our week going to be just like another week? So often we live carelessly, in no regard for what Jesus has done for us and what it cost him to redeem us. I trust today you will be reminded through the Spirit that this week will be a different week. "For he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy." And Jesus deals with them so compassionately. "And he left them, and he went away again. And he prayed the third time, saying the same words. And he cometh to his disciples, and he saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. Now Jesus knew the hour was close, that the Son of Man was going to be betrayed into the hands of sinners. The hour is at hand. He recognized he was fulfilling God the Father's eternal purpose. Today, me and you, we have the benefit of Jesus dying on the cross for you and for me, and going the road to Gethsemane, the olive press, where his life was emptied. He says in verse 3, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. It's killing me, he was saying. That's how much sorrow he had. And it was for mankind, for you and for me. When I think of Jesus, when it says here, and he began to be very sorrowful, I believe his sorrow increased as he left 8 disciples behind, and then he took 2 other disciples with him a little further, and then he went by himself. I'd like to read Luke 22, verse 42, again, or verse 44, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were drops of blood falling down to the ground. I don't think any of us can even remotely identify with the agony that Jesus went through. And you know, this is some 2,000 years ago, but when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he looked into that cup, when he had to drink that cup, he saw your sins and my sins. And he knew that this road was taking him to the cross, where he would be made a curse for us. His majesty is mocked through the weak. His meekness is refused. His compassion is answered with scorning and spitting. Jesus now sees, if it is not possible that this cup shall pass, then not as I will, but as thou wilt. Today we go to Hebrews 5, verse 7 to 9. Hebrews 5, verse 7, it says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Verse 9, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. He stood for a moment, and we could say overwhelmed with sorrow in his humanity, that seemed as if they must kill him, Jesus. And Jesus said, no man taketh my life from me. I lay it down, and I will take it again. He was here to do the will of his Father right from a young age. Don't you know that I must do the work of my Father? His Father's business. These are not his final words. They are only some of the things of the glory of that garden scene. Jesus, in his compassion, who was patient with his sleeping disciples, and so he is patient with us, displays his majesty, his meekness, in that unspeakable hour or hours. May he bring us near and near and near to the heart of his sorrow. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek." Harnessed, strength harnessed for service. May the sorrow of Jesus, the cup that he drank, not be in vain for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come into your presence this evening as we have looked into the Word of God, as we look at the week ahead, we see the road that you traveled. We know that that road takes you to the cross on Good Friday, or took you to the road to the cross on Good Friday. And we know that you have ascended, or you rose and ascended into heaven, and now you're interceding at the right hand of the Father. And you're looking down on your people with your grace and your mercy. Lord, it is my prayer as we read today morning that we will understand the day of visitation. That you will, as you look down on Jerusalem, you said, if only they had known the time of their visitation. They neglected. And so if we neglect, there's a day coming, it will be too late. Lord, I pray that through the Holy Spirit, you will move through the pews today. You have created each one. We've all been born in a sinful nature. Because of Adam and Eve sinned, and we've been born in that sinful nature, and we need a Redeemer. And so we recognize, according to Scripture, that you sent your Son Jesus, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, to become sin for us, that we could be made the righteousness of God in him. Lord, may you touch the hearts of those that have never accepted you, those that have never experienced salvation through your Son. Lord, we know through the Spirit you can do a mighty work. That is, you must continue to do your Father's will. We pray that you will work in our midst. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Savior went courageously, and there he bled and died for me. Hallelujah for the cross. And on that day the world was changed. A final perfect lamb was slain, and earth and heaven now proclaim Hallelujah. chains fell to the ground. When Jesus' blood came flowing down, hallelujah for the cross. Hallelujah for the war he fought. Love has won, death has lost. Hallelujah for the souls he bought. Hallelujah for the cross. Hallelujah for the cross. Hallelujah for the war he fought. Love has won, death has lost. Hallelujah for the souls he bought. Hallelujah for the cross. Hallelujah for the war he fought. Love has won, death has lost. Hallelujah for the souls he bought. Hallelujah for the cross. Hallelujah for the cross. Hallelujah for the cross.
It is, as we are going through the week, it is important that we do not stop at the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus, in John chapter 12, verse 20 says, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name." Then came there a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it, and I will glorify it again." When we think of the complete message of the cross, we know there's victory. Jesus has risen. And it is not about sorrows, but it took sorrows to fulfill God's will. It caused Jesus great sorrow. Sweat drops like as blood. Agony. I want to invite you all back tomorrow and the night following, that you will get the message of Jesus in his last week. And I thank you so much for coming. Thank you for the songs, the pianist, all you that have come, visitors, regulars. It is a blessing to see you here, and is my prayer that God will use it to encourage you in your walk of faith. I'll close with a benediction that we find in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 16. "Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us an everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Amen." You may depart in the peace of the Lord.